WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. We're so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We have a jam-packed show throughout this hour as we will talk about last night's Michigan State women's basketball game, the final regular season home game for the Spartans. Susie Merchant and company coming back from a huge deficit against Penn State. And, of course, with it being the final home game of the regular season, that marks senior night. And the lone senior for the Spartans, Tori Jankowska. Statistically, the greatest Michigan State women's basketball player to ever don the green and white jersey. She said goodbye to the Breslin Center for one final time. That's right. Tori Jankowska was honored, and I tell you what, folks, it wasn't a great start for Tori, but what a finish. We'll have coverage from last night's ceremony, as well as talk about how in the world Michigan State came back to win that game in just a moment. We will also chat a bit about spring football. That's right, as spring practice will get underway this weekend for the Michigan State football team. But get this, there is no spring football media availability, at least as of right now. We all know about the drama surrounded around D'Antonio's program as three unnamed Michigan State football players are involved in a sexual assault investigation. Usually on a day like today, I will be bringing you coverage from media availability as the team goes into spring football practice. But considering the drama that is surrounded around the program, that isn't so. We'll chat a bit about that, and we will also invite our dear friend Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, to the show. He knows all things Detroit Tigers baseball and Detroit Red Wings hockey. Richard Kincaid will join me on the show to talk about the Detroit Tigers opening spring training today out in Lakeland, Florida, in actually less than 5 minutes now. So we'll talk with Rich about that. And on the back end of the show, we will have Throwback Thursday for you. And of course, throughout this hour, we will keep you updated on all of the moves, all of the action that is taking place in the National Basketball Association as the NBA's trade deadline will end at 3 p.m. in less than 2 hours, folks. So we'll keep you updated on all that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. So as you see, so much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. In the last game that senior guard Tori Jankowska will ever play at the Breslin Center, the Michigan State women's basketball team overcame a 19-point third-quarter deficit and defeated Penn State 73-64 the final last night. Now, after being held scoreless in the first half, Jankowska rallied in the second half and finished with a double-double, 21 points, 12 rebounds. How about that, right? After the game, Jankowska was recognized in a ceremony with her family and teammates, honoring her record-setting Spartan career. I was there and had numerous coverage via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We'll bring you audio of the post-game ceremony and post-game thoughts via Susie Merchant and Tori Jankowska in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. When it comes to Michigan State men's hoops, the team will look to avoid losing to Nebraska at home for the second straight year when the team will take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers tonight at the Breslin Center. A win tonight would be huge for the Spartans' NCAA tourney chances, but they will have to do so without, of course, the services of senior guard Aaron Harris, who was taken off on a stretcher on the floor last game against Purdue due to a knee injury in that loss on Saturday. It was a tightly contested game throughout, but the Michigan Wolverines were able to escape Piscataway with a win over Rutgers by a final score of 68-64.
Inside of 6 minutes. Wilson.
Got it.
Comes off a dribble drive. Excellent set by Michigan.
Yes, Michigan used a full team effort to hold off the Scarlet Knights, finishing the game with four players scoring in double digits. Zach Irvin led the way with 16 points, and Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman chipped in 14. Michigan is now 18-10 overall, 8-7 in the Big Ten. The next home game will take place on Saturday against Purdue. Tip time set for 4 p.m. and will be televised on ESPN2. Michigan wide receiver Grant Perry had his pretrial hearing suspended for the second time in the last 2 months. Earlier today, Perry was originally due in East Lansing's 54B District Court for a pretrial hearing stemming from two misdemeanor charges of fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct, one felony count of resisting a police officer, and one misdemeanor count of a minor in possession of alcohol. Now, the pretrial hearing was pushed back to March 16th for the sophomore receiver, who was suspended by head coach Jim Harbaugh for 2 games after the alleged incident took place on October 15th outside of an East Lansing bar. The Detroit Pistons have been shopping around Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond in recent weeks, but a new name is rumored to be available, that being Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. ESPN's Mark Stein reported last night that the Pistons are listening to offers for KCP as well as Drummond. KCP is set to become a restricted free agent this summer, and his new contract is expected to be over $20 million per season. The 24-year-old shooting guard is averaging over 14 points per game and is the team's best perimeter defender. It will be interesting to see if KCP or others are moved before the 3 p.m. trade deadline. The NBA All-Star break is over, and the Pistons will look to return to the friendly confines of the Palace of Auburn Hills, where they will host the Charlotte Hornets tonight. The Hornets lost 11 of their last 12 games going into the All-Star weekend and are currently 2.5 games in back of the Pistons for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the Pistons went into their break winning 6 of their last 9. And although they haven't had a winning streak of more than 3 games, they are still in the same spot in the standings as they were going into the playoffs last year. Tonight's game tips off at 7:30 p.m. Baseball is finally back as the Detroit Tigers have just opened up spring training games against Florida Southern Moccasins at Joker Merchant Stadium out in Lakeland, Florida. The Detroit's Tigers lineup for the opener will be Ian Kinsler, Victor Martinez, Miguel Cabrera, JD Martinez, Justin Upton, Nick Castellanos, James McCann, Mickey Matuk, and Jose Iglesias. Starting on the mound for the Tigers will be Miles Jay. He finished last season with a 3.95 ERA, a 1.22 whip, and 135 strikeouts in 28 combined starts at AA Erie and AAA Toledo. Again, we will welcome to the show Richard Kincaid to give us a bit of a preview of the Detroit Tigers in Lakeland, Florida. Michigan attorney Bill Schuette held a news conference yesterday at 2:30 p.m., I should say, to discuss further charges brought against former MSU and USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar. Nassar now faces 22 new assault charges, and Schuette said there will be, quote, absolutely more relating to the more than 80 women or girls who have made allegations.
This guy is disgusting.
This guy is despicable. He is a monster. All 22 of today's counts are life offenses, and I've instructed Assistant Attorneys General Povilaitis and Riddell to seek the highest possible sentence.
Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Time to start the show. To the highlights we go. And how shocking was this? Jankowska was held scoreless in the first half as the Spartans stared at a 14-point deficit. All Nittany Lions. But you know number one wasn't going to go out like that. Third quarter, off the inbounds. Pump fake, dribble, release. Bueno. Penn State only up by 9. Final minute of the third. This is what separates Jankowska from the rest of the pack. The steal. The layup. 5-point game. 21 points. All in the second half for Torrey. And how about the pleasant surprise for the Spartans tonight? Kennedy Johnson on the pick and roll feed, a career high 12 points off the bench for Johnson. Impressive stuff. And how about this jumper from Johnson as well? She didn't miss a shot the entire game, 6 for 6 from the floor. Give Michigan State the comeback. 73-64 the final. Jankowska comes out, and just like every Spartan before her has done, she kisses center court goodbye in her final game under the Breslin lights. Cue the tears.
She's an incredible role model. I mean, there's probably 25 little Tories in that gym tonight and that are going to really die trying to wear number one here someday, you know. And I just am so proud of the person that she is and how she represents Michigan State.
Going out and kissing the Spartan head was one of the best moments of my life. The emotions going through, that we were able to get the win, that I was able to come out and give all of my coaches, all of my teammates a hug, and kissing that floor where I left everything I had for 4 years straight, and it was really special.
Torrey, what I think a lot of us in this room will remember about you is how competitive you are. Where did that begin? Where does that competitiveness stem from?
I can't even put words or like all directed to one spot. It's just something you're born with. I really think it's that way.
We are exactly the same in terms of our approach and competitiveness and feistiness, and most kids can't handle that.
Yes, that is how we start this Thursday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, I wanted to start the show like that because, of course, Torrey Jankowska said goodbye for the last time under the Breslin Center lights last night for those that attended the Michigan State women's basketball game against Penn State. What a doozy it was. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But as you hear playing in the background, that's one of the most famous tracks in hip-hop history. That being Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff's Summertime. And I want to play this song because, you know, it's a beautiful day in mid-Michigan. What is it, about 55 degrees. We got up to about 66 yesterday. It has been an incredible week. Soak it up, because I know we're dipping back into the 30s come this weekend. But it amazes me, those of us who live in Michigan, when we get just a taste of good weather, when it's supposed to be cold outside, people here in Michigan just lose their minds. Like, you know, I get it. It's nice outside, but a lot of you feel like it's summertime. Isaac, I'm driving around campus, dude, and this irks me. I don't have many pet peeves. I don't have many pet peeves, but this is one of them. When it's like 50 degrees outside, and when we first start to get that first stretch of good weather outside, I'm driving around campus, and I see T-shirts, which, okay, T-shirts is cool. But shorts and flip-flops. Come on, man. It's not that hot outside, dude. It is not that hot to go outside when it's 50 degrees and still windy, I might add, and rock shorts and flip-flops. That's a law. That's a man law for all the dudes out there. But just people in general, that's a people law. Come on. It's not 70 or 80 degrees outside, Isaac. Please tell me. You are not one of those dudes.
I'm wearing a T-shirt right now.
T-shirt
is
cool.
I'm wearing jeans and then a, you know, full-on shoe as well.
Yeah, T-shirt is cool. But flip-flops and shorts?
I'll go the other way, though. That annoys me. I mean, I'm with you. I don't think that you need to make it too great of an occasion or try to overdo it whatsoever. I'm with you there.
That's too far.
At the same time, I don't want to see people out there in the same winter clothes that they've been wearing all year long.
I get it.
No. Because in that occasion, you are not soaking in, you are not taking in the rays,
Isaac,
whatsoever.
You
got to respect what the weather gave you for
that. Yeah, but it's only 50 degrees. That's like when fall is about to come. You know, when you hit that autumn, fall type temperature. I mean, 50 degrees, that's a light jacket. You rock your jeans, but not shorts and flip.
I hear
crime,
you on that,
dude.
But you're not wearing winter coat either. That's just as criminal. That's horrendous.
Yeah, don't wear a winter coat. You see, I got on my light jacket here. I'm feeling good. Anybody out there, though, that's listening to the Current Sports right now, driving around, or you may be at home, please, if you're rocking flip, I call them flippy floppies. If you're rocking flippy floppies and shorts, go put something else on. That's all I'm saying, dude. I don't want you to get sick. The flu is already going around. We don't need more sick people around. That's all I'm saying, man. Enjoy the weather, though. Enjoy it. It's a beautiful day in mid-Michigan, and we've got a sizzling hot Current Sports in store for all of you throughout this entire hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of our show. And you know what? Before I dive into one of the most entertaining games I've covered in Michigan State women's basketball since I've been a reporter here in the area, last night's Spartans and Nittany Lions game at the Breslin, senior night for Tori Jankowska. You know what? Let's give away these tickets right now, because I have a tendency at times here on the show to forget that we do have tickets to give away, i.e. yesterday. Now, granted, yesterday wasn't a big hiccup, because I don't think we've given away a pair of women's basketball tickets for Michigan State.
We've given away one.
We've done it one time out of what? I don't know how many games, how many home games throughout the year, Isaac. So I don't think that was a big hiccup last night, but we did have tickets to give away for the Penn State game. And we just had such a jam-packed show where we have like three guests yesterday that it totally did not cross my mind. So you know what? Again, tonight, the Michigan State men's basketball team, this is a big game. Huge game for Tom Izzo and company, because this is a team that many feel is already on the bubble. I feel like they're on the bubble. I feel like that's the general consensus right now for this team. They need to get wins, and they need to get them right now. It's going to be a lot of probably the prime storyline tonight for Michigan State is that this is the first game that Michigan State will be playing without the help of senior guard Aaron Harris, who suffered that ugly knee injury last weekend on the road at Purdue. We all saw it. We talked about it extensively on Monday's Current Sports. That's going to be the storyline for tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. I also want to put this out there as well. I got this in my email yesterday. For tonight, Michigan State men's basketball playing host to Nebraska, Spartan Athletics is asking that for those that attend, please wear green. They want a green out, a full all-out green out for tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game against the Cornhuskers. So right now, I want to give away a pair of tickets to that game. And we're going to make you earn them. No, we're not doing, hey, caller number one, caller number two, those tickets are yours. No, we want to make you guys earn these tickets today. And we have a trivia question via our fantastic Current Sports PAs. This is your trivia question. Which one of these Michigan State men's basketball players never won the Big Ten Player of the Year? I feel like Alex Trebek right now. A, Morris Peterson. B, Scott Skiles. C, Irvin Magic Johnson. Or D, Mateen Cleaves. Again, the question is, which one of these Michigan State men's basketball players never won the Big Ten Player of the Year? A, Mo Pete. B, Scott Skiles. C, Irvin Magic Johnson. Or D, Mateen Cleaves. Our phone lines are open. If you call in and you get the correct answer right here, live on WKAR's Current Sports, you will be taking someone to see tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans welcome the Nebraska Cornhuskers to the Breslin. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's talk about the Michigan State women's basketball team. You know, you heard my call of the highlights, a few of the highlights from last night's game as Michigan State battled back to stun the Penn State Nittany Lions. What a great win. What a great win for Michigan State because, again, like the Michigan State men's basketball team, and I think you can erase all doubt now, you know, after Michigan State beat Michigan this past weekend, you know, a ranked team, 20th ranked team at the time. And now with this win over a very good Penn State team, I think you can put Michigan State women's basketball in the tourney. NIT, no. NIT no more for this team. That talk, I believe, is dead now. Susie Merchant has found a way to motivate her squad and has found a winning formula when it comes to balancing the offensive talent that is Tori Jankowska with the offensive talent with the rest of the team. Names like Taya Reimer, the great transfer from the stout program that is Notre Dame. How about the Detroit native, Brandy Agee, which has become a scoring machine for the squad? How about the emerging confidence a former East Lansing girls basketball hoop great, Taryn McCutcheon? There's so much talent on this team. But you know what really surprised me last night? Aside from the names that I mentioned, the usual suspects, right? And players like Jankowska, and players like AG, Reimer. The player that surprised everybody last night, and the player that without her production offensively, without her production offensively, Michigan State would have lost that game last night. That player, Kennedy Johnson. I couldn't believe it. You heard in the highlights there, Kennedy Johnson was the X factor that helped lead the Spartans to overcoming that 19-point. Michigan State down at by 19 points in the third quarter, rallying for a 73-64 win over Penn State. Such a tall order, because I watched that first half and I'm sitting there saying to myself, oh my goodness, Michigan State just looks so out of sync right now. Combined with the fact that Michigan State's leader, Tori Jankowska, was scoreless at halftime. I can't remember if that's ever happened throughout Tori Jankowska's respective career. But she had a donut in the scoring column for the Spartans last night at the half. Unbelievable. Now, she finished with a double-double, rallied in the second for 21 points, 12 boards. That's who Tori Jankowska is. And you know what I thought to myself, because Jankowska, it was senior night for her, her final game at the Breslin Center. Her mom was there along with about 100 other members of Freeland, Michigan, where Jankowska is from. You know, she had so many people in the house for that game last night. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, you know, there were about 100 tickets sold in honor of just Jankowska. It was crazy. And you know, I looked up in the stands, and we have footage of fans up there with Tori Jankowska, fatheads on a stick. It was so fun to watch that. And they were so loud. And you know what? I mean, just imagine that. I mean, you're out there trying to do your job, right? Out there trying to lead your team to a win against a pretty good team. in Penn State. And the night at the end of the day is going to be all about you. This is your final game. After 4 great years donning the green and white jersey, this is your final game. And you have about 100 people in the building just for you. It's a lot of pressure. And I think to a certain degree that Torrey may have gotten a bit nervous to start that game. You know, and I'm not trying to take away any credit from Penn State, because I thought that they did a good job of slowing Torrey down defensively. I mean, we all know. I mean, Torrey is the offensive juggernaut for this team. I mean, she can score in multiple ways. And you saw Penn State run a box and one at one point in the game to try and slow Torrey down, and it worked. And heck, we even saw a triangle in two that slowed Torrey Jankowska down. So they threw a lot of bodies at Torrey Jankowska, and it looked like she was on her way to a subpar night, and it looked like Michigan State was on their way. It was on its way to a loss in that game. But my, oh my, Torrey woke up. She started hitting down threes. She had a big steal and a fast break layup that was big. And then Kennedy Johnson coming off the bench to net a career high 12 points. And get this, not only that, she was 6 of 6 from the floor. She did not miss a shot that she took. That is winning basketball. So now you look at this team, Michigan State improving to 19-9 overall, 9-6 in the Big Ten Conference. And on yesterday's Current Sports, I let you guys know the scenario, how Michigan State coming into that game last night was in a 4-way tie for 4th place, combined with Penn State, Purdue, and Indiana. Well, Michigan State with the win now is in just a 2-way tie now for 4th place in the Big Ten Conference. And the reason why that's so important is because we all know that the Big Ten Tournament, which will be taking place at the beginning of March out in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Big Ten Tournament is looming. And there are going to be a lot of teams out there that are going to need a solid showing if they want to make the big dance, the NCAA tournament, later on in that month. And the reason why that 4th spot is so important is because the top 4 teams receive a double bye. And that's huge. You know, you get extra rest, fresher legs on a tournament of that magnitude, playing against a lot of desperate teams. That's big for Michigan State. That's huge for Michigan State. Now, if you look at Indiana, though, I don't know if you guys were following Indiana last night, but Indiana had a thrilling win at home against Iowa that went into overtime. So it's going to come down to Indiana and Michigan State now, and Indiana will wrap up the year against Illinois in 2 days. So we'll see how this whole thing pans out, but that was a huge win, and all signs pointed to a Michigan State loss last night. But, you know, Michigan State played great defense. They didn't give up, and that's a testament to leadership. You know, when you have a leader like Torrey Jankowska, and you could see it, you know, she's talking to her teammates, saying, hey, this thing isn't over. Her emotional leadership is so important to that squad. And Michigan State, no matter how much they're down, again, we're talking about a 19-point deficit, folks. They still believe that they could come back and win that game. A few other notes in that game. Get this. Michigan State's 19-point comeback was the largest under head coach Susie Merchant. How about that? Topping a 16-point comeback done 3 times under Merchant. Most recently during the 2014-15 campaign, December 4th, 2014 versus Georgia Tech. Also rallying down from 16 points at Florida State, December 1st in 2010, and to Iowa on January 10th of 2008. How about that, right? Jankowska recorded her 11th double-double of the season, 24th of her career, team-high 21 points, team-high 12 rebounds, and Wednesday's 21 points marked her 17th game of scoring 20 or more points. We all know about the record. She is the program's leading scorer. She is the program's leading three-point shooter. I mean, I could go on and on and on with the accolades, and I tell you what, to end this first segment, It has truly been an honor and a privilege to cover Tori Jankowska throughout her entire Michigan State career. I never thought she would be this good. I remember when she came in with Ariel Powers, and Ariel Powers seemed to steal the show. Ariel Powers was one of the best players I've ever seen don the green and white jersey as well. We all know Ariel decided to take her talents to the WNBA draft after her junior season. I can't help but think about what could have been if Ariel would have stayed around for her senior year like Tori did, right? But Tori Jankowska, and I tell this story all the time, and I'll probably tell my grandkids this, right? But I got the chance to play against Tori, pick up basketball game last year at the Breslin Center as Darren Weiss, who was a member of the Michigan State women's basketball scout team, invited me there. And I'll never forget those three pickup games. We took two of the three against Tori, which I can brag about a little bit. And I guarded Tori throughout those three games. We went back and forth. But I tell you what, after the second win, I remember going up to Tori and saying, "Hey, Tori, good game." I'm talking mess. And I'm like, "Hey, Tori, good game." Trying to rub it in her face. And this is how competitive Tori is. She has the same mentality in a pickup basketball game that she delivers on any given Michigan State women's basketball court against whatever competition. I said, "Hey, good game, Tori," trying to rub it in a little bit. And she kind of scoffed at me and just stared at my hand and then went to the water fountain to get some water. I'll never forget that look she gave me. She looked like an angry pit bull. That's Tori Jankowska, folks. She will be missed. Her career isn't over yet. Again, we still got the Big Ten tournament coming up. We still got the NCAA tournament coming up. I'm excited to see what she does come postseason time. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I understand we do have two callers on the line that want to take a stab at today's trivia question. Again, if they get it right, they can win tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball game tonight. A green out against Nebraska at the Breslin Center. We will give those two callers a shot at today's trivia question after our first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's give away these tickets right now. Michigan State men's basketball playing host to Nebraska tonight at the Breslin Center. And we're making our listeners earn them here on WKAR AM 870. A big shout out to Austin Short, Zach Manning, and Jacob Herbert for our fantastic trivia question, which is, which of these Michigan State men's basketball players never won the Big Ten Player of the Year award? A. Mo Pete, Morris Peterson. B. Scott Skiles. C. Irvin Magic Johnson. Or D. Mateen Cleaves. Let's go to our phone lines right now in this order. Well, and this is how we do this, Isaac. Kirk from Grand Ledge is on line one. He gets a shot at the trivia question. And on line two, we've got Paul from Hazlitt that if Kirk gets the answer, well, gets the question wrong, we'll then go to Paul. So there's a chance here that we may not hear from Paul from Hazlitt, but stick tight, Paul. You just never know. Let's go to line one right now. Kirk from Hazlitt believes that he has the answer to today's trivia question. Kirk, what's on your mind, my man, and what is the answer?
You mean Kirk from Grand Ledge as opposed to Kirk from Hazlitt?
Oh, I got that mixed up. Kirk from Grand Ledge. Thank you, Kirk, for the correction. What's the answer, Kirk?
I believe it's A, Morris Peterson.
Wow. Kirk, you got it wrong. This is a tricky one.
Did I?
This is a tricky question, I must say, Kirk. No, that is the wrong answer. Mo Pete, so it kind of helps out Paul now, who's on line two. Kirk, we love you. Kirk, what's that?
I at least eliminated one of the things for Paul.
You did. You made it easier.
I thought Mateen was like three times Big Ten Player of the Year, so I figured it had to be Morris. But I'm going to be interested to hear what it is. The one thing I do want to say, though, is your thing about Tory Jankowska.
Yeah.
One of the other guys you've mentioned on the trivia question, Tory is a lot like Scott Skiles.
She is.
In that Tory played in the shadow of Ariel Powers for 3 years, where Scott played in the shadow of Sam Vincent for basically 3 years while they, you know, played together. And then Sam went off to the NBA. And then their senior seasons, you know, they both had just unbelievable years. So,
right.
It's an interesting thing. I'll be listening to hear what the answer is to this question now.
Please do, Kirk. Kirk from Grand Ledge, not Hazlitt. My man, Kirk. Thank you, Kirk. And again, that comparison actually was made this afternoon between Tory Jankowska and Scott Skiles on Susie Merchant's radio show. And I thought that was an interesting comparison. I think that's very interesting that Kirk just brought that up. All right, line two. Again, our trivia question is, which one of these Michigan State men's basketball players never won the Big Ten Player of the Year? We all know it's not A, Mo Pete. That was Kirk's guess. Is it B, Scott Skiles, C, Irvin Magic Johnson, or D, Mateen Cleaves? We've got Paul from Hazlitt that wants to take a stab at it. Paul, how you doing, and what is your guess?
I'm good, thanks. Scott Skiles would be my guess. Glad to Kirk for eliminating Mo Pete.
Yes, you can thank Kirk from that, and I guess caller number three can thank you as well, Paul, because Scott Skiles is not the correct answer.
Really?
How about that? I told you this is a tricky one. Our current sports PA is really dug for this one. This is a really good one. Paul, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. 517-355-WKAR. This is probably the best trivia question we've ever had, Isaac. I think this is probably in the running for the best we've ever given away.
I think we've hoodwinked callers before with the multiple answers or selections, but at the same time, nobody saw this coming, including myself. I mean, I did not do the research on the question.
Right.
I would have guessed probably Morris Peterson as well, but yeah, I would not have guessed Mateen. I think I would have guessed Morris if I had to.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see. When I saw the answer, I said this is going to be a tricky one. That's all I'm saying. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line three right now before we get our guest for today's current sports. Thomas from Lansing wants to take a stab at it again. Which one of these MSU men's basketball players never won the Big Ten Player of the Year? Is it C, Magic Johnson, or D, Mateen Cleaves? Thomas, how you doing, and what is your guess?
We all know Mateen Cleaves did win Big Ten Player of the Year. That guy was phenomenal. But what's even more amazing is that Magic Johnson did not, which is unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy? Do you know why, Thomas? Ding, ding, ding. You are our winner for today's current sports trivia question. You will check out the Michigan State men's basketball team as they play host to Nebraska tonight. But do you know why Irvin didn't win this award, Thomas?
Well, he was. I think back in those years, we had some other great players in the Big Ten and I forgot who the guy was who did win it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, I'll even go a step further than that. But again, Magic was so good in college. I mean, he definitely would have won Big Ten Player of the Year if the award was established at that time.
That's right. It didn't come until 84. You're right.
Actually, until 82.
It was 82.
Okay. That's right,
you're
Thomas.
Absolutely right.
Exactly. That's why I said this is a tricky one. Again, Magic Johnson, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. One of, I should say. The Big Ten Player of the Year Award.
During those years, they had some phenomenal players that were in the Big Ten during his years.
Exactly. It wasn't established until 1982, 3 years after Magic went to the NBA. Thomas, hey, thank you so much, my friend. Stay on the line. Isaac Constance will tell you how to pick up those tickets, all right?
Hey, thank you. Love your show, man.
Oh, thank you so much, Thomas. That means a lot, my friend. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Keeping this thing pushing, in just a moment, we will get Richard Kincaid on the line, Detroit sports broadcaster and baseball and hockey aficionado. He will join us on the air to talk about the Detroit Tigers opening up spring training games out in Lakeland, Florida. You don't want to miss that chat. Real briefly here, though, I want to talk about, for a second, the NBA trade deadline. Because, you know, it's a lot going on right now. You know, I'm on ESPN right now, and we have our PAs, along with Isaac behind the glass, keeping a close eye to the NBA action that is taking place, the moves around the league that are taking place until the 3 p.m. trade deadline. More so because locally, when it comes to the Detroit Pistons, you know, there's been a lot of chatter surrounded around the red, white, and royal blue. Will they make a move? Won't they make a move? If they decide to make a big splash, which names will be involved? You know, we had the minor drama and talk about Detroit Pistons big man Andre Drummond possibly being involved in a trade here and there. You know, we saw Andre on Andre's Twitter account. He erased references to the Detroit Pistons franchise. He changed his Twitter avatar and then changed it back to him donning a Detroit Pistons jersey. He retweeted Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics when it came to the emoji eyes, and then he tweeted a pair of emoji eyes himself, and we're like, oh, it amazes me how crazy we are when it comes to social media. Oh, my goodness, he tweeted emoji eyes. Where is he going to go? Will he be a Piston? You know, I'm a Pistons fan, you guys know, and I started, you know, Googling and looking up every blog and forum I could, and it's amazing because at first, Reggie Jackson's name was in the mix, right? And I truly think that, hey, the Pistons have, I think, gotten all that they're going to get out of Reggie Jackson. To a certain standpoint now, he's becoming a hindrance for this team, especially when you look at, you know, a few games before the All-Star break, and you evaluate the minute differential between backup point guard Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson. And when you equate that minute differential to W's, Ish Smith coming in and giving you great production. Oh, okay, there we go. Okay.
It does look like we have a trade, Al. Doug McDermott is going off to OKC. Very interested. Also reports that Andre Robertson, the shooting guard, fresh out of Colorado, went to OKC. Great rebounding shooting guard, not much of a shot on him. Quite the opposite for McDermott, of course. Dougie McBuckets gets buckets on the wing, but not too much defense on him. It looks like they'll be involved in a swap of some kind. That coming officially from Doug McDermott's Twitter. He said off to OKC. So big trade of the deadline now to add to Nerlens Noel going to Dallas in exchange for Justin Anderson, Andrew Bogut, and a heavily protected first-round pick that will likely end up being more or less 2 second-round picks. So a minimal return there for the 76ers.
That. I like both of those moves, actually, and thank you for that interruption, Isaac. I told Isaac, hey, if some big NBA trade deadline news ensues, hey, interrupt me with an alarm or siren or something, even if I'm giving a deep and passionate rant about the Detroit Pistons and the trade deadline. And thank you so much for that, Isaac, for informing our listeners on that. But yeah, going back to my point, though, I mean, you look at, you know, Reggie Jackson's name was thrown in, and then it was Andre Drummond, and now, you know, I was watching ESPN SportsCenter last night, and Brian Windhorst, a longtime NBA expert whose phone is probably going off left and right now. Brian talked about, you know, keeping a close eye on Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons, seeing as though Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, his name is now the big name that could possibly go somewhere before today's deadline. So what do you think? I want to know from you guys. Do you think the Pistons should make a move? And if so, what kind of a move? Who should they send where and what should they try to get back? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, well, what I'm going to do right now, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's Current Sports. We're going to shift the conversation from Pistons and MSU hoops to the Detroit Tigers, who are underway right now in the very first spring training game out in Lakeland, Florida. We will talk with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcasters, about the Detroit Tigers and more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. 37 years ago yesterday, America witnessed the miracle on ice. How about that? I wanted to also bring that up on yesterday's show. We had such a jam-packed show that I did not get to talk about it extensively, but you heard the call there. I mean, my goodness, such a thrilling game back in 1980. And, you know, Al Michaels called the drama. A lot of people don't even know this. You know, a lot of young pups like myself didn't know this until later on, probably until high school. I didn't know that that was Al Michaels on the call. I was born in 1990. And that game took place in 1980. And again, USA, and taking on world number one, the Russian team, right? Stunning everybody and coming out with the dub. And I've heard so many stories about how the game took place earlier on in the day, but it was going to be aired on tape delay later on in the day. So everybody, there was this buzz around town that America had beaten Russia. And, you know, people were canceling plans later on in the day to watch what had taken place. And a lot of people didn't even want to know what happened because they didn't know if it was true or not. And they wanted to just see it on tape delay later on in the day. And again, yeah, I mean, they've made a movie out of it. That call from Al Michaels, you know, put him. I mean, he was on the up and up at the time. But that call right there really put Al Michaels' name as a staple in the world of sports broadcasting. And right now, you know, I thought it'd be fitting to open up our conversation like that as we now invite Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, to the show, because not only does Richard follow, you know, the Detroit Tigers and baseball pretty closely, but he's also a big hockey nut as well. So before we talk about the Detroit Tigers, Rich, can you comment on where you were when you heard about the United States beating world number one Russia? What a moment.
Well, I was working at this little outfit called Sports Phone. It used to be before the internet and everything. If you needed up-to-date sports scores, you would pay 50 cents and call Sports Phone, and we'd update the thing every 5 minutes or so. And actually, being in the Detroit area, we were able to watch the game live. I think it started at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was being re-shown on ABC at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the vast majority of people had to wait to see it at 8 o'clock. But we were watching it on CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, just across the river in Windsor. So we knew what was going on. We watched it live. And, of course, it was jaw-dropping. One of the guys on that team, probably the only guy from Michigan, Ken Morrow, from the Flint area, he wins the gold medal with the United States there in 1980, immediately joins the New York Islanders and is on the ice playing for them when they win the first of four straight Stanley Cups. So what a run for Ken Morrow. And then when his career ended, he became the assistant coach for a team I was broadcasting for in Flint, the Flint Spirits at the time. Mm-hmm. And then we still stay in touch. He's director of scouting now for the New York Islanders. And he is responsible for my greatest moment in hockey. It's true. He invited me to play in a charity game for youth hockey, and they were opening a new rink in the Flint area. Mm. And, boy, there had to be like 6,000 to 7,000 people there. It was a tremendous day. And many of the guys from the 80 Olympic team, his buddies, played in that game. I'm playing goal, and down at the other end is Jim Craig, who was the goalie for the U.S. Olympic team.
Wow.
So anyway, the game starts right away, and Mike Ruzzi walks right in on me. 10 seconds in, rips a slap shot, and I make a glove save. And a pretty nice one, actually. I surprised myself. And Ruzioni skates by, gives me this look, you know, nobody paid to watch you, right? You know?
Right.
And then I hear cheering. It dawns on me the crowd is cheering, and then I think to myself, hey, that's for you.
Wow.
So, you know, and later in the first period, there was a guy wide open in front of the net, and the Olympic team had the puck in the corner to my right. And I've got to honor the guy in the corner, so I'm hugging the post to my right, but I know that pass is going to come to this guy in the slot, and he's going to score. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it's going to be. The guy lets the pass go, and Kenny Morrow's in the vicinity. He drops to one knee, lays his stick down flat on the ice, blocks the pass, picks up the puck, and skates the other way.
Are you kidding
me? I didn't even know that was an option.
Right, that's something that's like made up in your dreams, right? Oh, my goodness.
I had never seen that, and he made it look just so routine. You know, his facial expression didn't change, but anyways, that was actually, I would say that was probably the biggest thrill of my life in the game of hockey, and I owe that to Ken Morrow, who's just a terrific guy. And as I mm-hmm. say, a guy from the state of Michigan who, was on that team and then went on to hockey glory. So, I've got a lot of memories about that 1980 thing. It's still boggles the mind. But you got to remember, 2 weeks before the Olympics, the U.S. team played the Soviets in an exhibition game at
right.
Madison Square Garden. They got beat either 10-0 or 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure that was what was going to happen in the Olympics. But, you know, we all know it turned out a little bit differently.
Very true. What a game. What a moment. And, again, one that we're still talking about to this day.
Sure. Ruzioni still feels pretty good about scoring the game-winning goal
right.
for the United States against the Soviet Union. But his memory is somewhat marred by that save I made on him.
Right. I'm sure that still keeps him up at night, Rich. Now, Rich, we only got a few minutes here left.
Right.
But I want to dive into the Detroit Tigers because, again, they're opening up their first game of spring training out in Lakeland, Florida. They actually have a 3-0 lead up on Florida Southern. They scored all three of those runs in the bottom of the second inning. Just a bit of a just brief thoughts on this Detroit Tigers team. One that didn't make too many moves during the offseason leading up to the start of the year here. Does that surprise you at all?
It did. And but what you have to keep in mind is this is, I mean, I wanted him to go and get Yoannis Cespedes, bring him back to town. You know, he could have played center field or they could have moved somebody over because that's the hole they got to fill right now mm-hmm. is the center field. But, you know, they're spending so much on salary as it is. Think about this. Between Anibal Sanchez and Mike Pelfrey, two guys who were hurt most of last year, really didn't contribute, they owe those two players $24 million in salary this year. So you take those things into consideration. But I got to tell you something, Al. I hate this time of year. I start reading the stories about the Tigers, and I look at the roster, and on paper, or in this case, computer screen, you know, they look pretty good. You know, so my hopes are up there. I feel good about the team. And then, you know, the season starts and maybe things don't go the way you'd hope. But once again, on computer screen, you know, this looks like a solid ball club. Upton in left field, you know, came on in the second half of last season. If he keeps that going, you know, he's a premier guy. J.D. Martinez in the final year of his contract, you're thinking, you know, playing for a contract, he may have himself a good year. And I like him as a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
He made the most courageous thing I think I've ever seen on the ball field last year. Remember he broke his arm in Kansas City when he ran into the wall?
Exactly, yep. Yep.
He breaks his arm, runs over, picks up the ball, and threw it as best he could back to the infield. I could not believe that.
That takes a lot of gusto, doesn't it? Unbelievable.
What a guy. And then around the infield, Castellanos, you know, so he's rounding into becoming a pretty good third baseman. I've always liked Iglesias at short. His hitting was awful last year, but although it did pick up in the second half. Kinsler's one of the best second basemen around. Then you got this guy Cabrera, who's going to play over at first base. You know, you kind of got to like that guy.
Yeah, I think
and
I know
then,
him,
you know,
right?
Yeah. Victor Martinez played last year. The reason he played so poorly and ran so poorly, he had what they call a sports hernia, and the day after the season ended, he had surgery on it, but that was not released to the media. That sort of came out over the winter, so he says he's healthy now. And then McCann behind the plate, he's got to pick up his hitting, but, you know, defensively, you like him. The big issue with any baseball team is your pitching staff. The rotation, Verlander, you know, a lot of people thought he should have won the Cy Young Award last year with 16 wins, Fulmer, Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question mark start. Norris and Boyd were the guys who carried much of the load last year after Sanchez and Pelfrey flamed out. But they're young guys. But I think maybe the biggest question mark on the staff would be Jordan Zimmermann. Remember going into June, Jordan Zimmermann, let's be clear.
Right.
Going into June last year, you will recall he was 7-2 with an ERA of 2.65. I mean, he was pitching phenomenally well. But then he wound up with some back issues and wasn't much of a factor the rest of the way. So if, you know, you look at guys like Sanchez, Pelfrey's lost 25 pounds, by the way. Maybe that'll help. But if you look at Sanchez, Pelfrey, and Zimmermann, If those three guys can come through, that's not a bad starting rotation. So, see, it's this time of year when you're feeling pretty good, your hopes are up, and let's hope, you know, this year it turns out to be the case. But again, as you look on this, as you look at the 40-man, you know, without having played a game, and today's, by the way, is an exhibition game.
Exactly.
The regular exhibition season starts tomorrow against Baltimore. They're warming up for that with this game against Florida Southern. And by the way, Mike Matuk, who was they acquired in January, kind of under the radar for a player to be named or cash from Tampa Bay. He may be the starting center fielder this year.
Right. And he seems to be the favorite, but I know Tyler Collins has been a bit of an afterthought and has impressed folks in camp as well.
Exactly. But, you know, still a long way to go. And it's going to be an interesting training camp with the World Baseball Classic being played, because a lot of Tigers will be participating in that. And I think that's the reason why today you saw so many of the guys who are going to be on the field on opening day come April in the Tigers lineup in a game that actually means less than nothing. But be that as it may, a lot of these guys are going to get more of a look this spring than normally would be the case, because, again, you're going to have guys like Cabrera and Victor Mike. The guys that are playing in the World Baseball Classic aren't going to be around for 3 weeks. So it'll be a fun camp. But I got to tell you, I feel good about the team.
Richard Kincaid.
So put me on record as saying 93 wins and a division title.
Okay. We can print that right now. All right. I'm holding you to that. So, Rich,
yeah. I also thought the Pistons would win 52.
Okay. So take that with a big bag of salt then. Richard,
precisely.
Richard Kincaid, folks, he covers all his bases. Rich, we got to have you on next week to continue this chat. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me. Always good to be on the air with the nicest guy in broadcasting.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Rich. We love you, buddy. Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich, it's been a pleasure.
Always, Al. Take care.
You got it. Richard Kincaid, he covers all his bases. Pun intended. All right, Isaac, we got a fact from our own Kevin Lavery real briefly here.
Yeah, so Miracle on Ice, the recreation during the movie actually was all new tidbits, all new segments from Al Michaels on the call, actually. He had to reenact all of that, except for the very final call when he said, "Do you believe in miracles?"
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the original, because he said he could not replicate it.
You can't duplicate that. So he redid those calls?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
To make them a little more cleaner, a little more TV and movie friendly.
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea. That's a very interesting fact. Thank you so much, Kevo. All right, we're out of time. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday. Be easy.